Now then, when Son and Cobb, when I started to get them, when I went into this business, I wanted them to take our business and our green life and make it into tablets. They tried for 6 weeks and couldn't do it. Why? Because the darn stuff would pick up on them. In other words, it was alive. I went out there to see why they couldn't. They brought in the engineer, and the engineer, or rather the chemist, says, well, lay a dead man over there tonight, and he'll be there in the morning. But you put this stuff over there, and it's not the same thing tomorrow morning. It'll work today, and it won't work tomorrow. They wanted to put a chemical in there. They wanted to put a chemical in there so that it would stabilize it, kill the life in it so it would be normal, and lay still, inert, dead. Well, they couldn't do the job. Now, what do we have to do? We have to take this room that we do all the work in, this big plant, and take all the moisture out of it and cool it down so that the men in there work all the time with no humidity in the air. Otherwise, the stuff you can't tell it. Now, that's another expense that they don't have. They can do theirs in any kind of room, anytime, push the button, all dead stuff, inert stuff, go ahead and use it. Green life is made in nature's laboratory, not man's, where sunshine, air, water, bacteria, molds, worms, humus, and so forth form an organically composted living soil. From such soil is life produced and balanced as only nature can. Man, being a biological animal, functions properly only when the blood, all glands, and all organs are properly balanced. Man cannot now, and we doubt if he ever can, achieve the balance for humans in the laboratory. And this goes on then to show the difference between... This is not a vitamin and mineral supplement. It is not a high-potency concentrate of crystalline or synthetic vitamins. It is not even a dietary supplement with a natural base such as alfalfa, watercress, and so forth, with synthetic or crystalline vitamins and inorganic minerals added to give it potency. It is not just a fragmentation of a food or a fragmentation of a vitamin, amino acid, or a mineral. Green life is a complete food with only the water and the fiber removed. We had a boy up in Massachusetts here recently. There was an automobile accident. He had been using the grasses, and he hit the telephone pole, and the pole broke in two and fell right across his femur up here, right between the hip bone and the knee, and busted all the pieces between the pole and the seat. Crushed it into little bits. They took him to the hospital, and they didn't know why they could do anything for him, but they began trying to... They put a silver plate, a rod in there to begin with, and tried to build up bones. And they took some off of his hips, and he was in the operation room there two or three times, and he got so run down that he went home. And his wife was believing our way of eating and had everything natural, and she'd build him back up. Then he went to the hospital again, and they'd do some more work on him. But the second time, he got infected with a powerful germ that comes found only in hospitals as a result of using all these antibiotics, in which the germ becomes immune to the antibiotics. So he got this terrible infection, and it pulled up pus, and he could take his finger or pencil and just touch his leg here anywhere, and green pus would squirt out in all directions. But he had this tremendous fever, and he begged them and pleaded with them to cut it off. And they said, no, if they cut it off, that poison spread right through his body and kill him instantly. Well, he said, I'd rather be killed than to go through. I can't stand it. And they give him barbiturates and everything, keep him unconscious for 3 or 4 days, and when he waking up, nothing would, he didn't have any drugs strong enough. And they had the best doctor in the United States, supposed to be in Harvard medical school. And they said that there was no germ, that they pumped everything on earth they could get in there, and there was nothing they found that would kill that bacteria, or that virus, or whatever it was. Nothing strong enough to kill it. Well, he had gone home 5 times and come back 5 times. Each time he'd go home, build up his strength on natural foods. Each time he came back, and they'd operate on him some more. Finally, he raised so much hell about the kind of food he was giving that they thought he was a nut, so they brought a psychologist in. Now remember, the guy's got this green pus all through his body, and they think he's bringing the psychologist in. Well, that was the last straw. He thought if they didn't know any more about that, why, he knew he had nothing wrong with him. So he demanded that they let him go home. They wouldn't do it because he said he'd die the minute he left the hospital. And he told his wife, he says, I don't care if I die 10 minutes after leaving here. I'm going to leave and you get the papers necessary. And they wouldn't let him go until they both signed big, long legal papers. And when they took him to the door, it took 4 men to carry him out. And this main surgeon says, you're making a... I can't understand. You must be insane to want to go home. Nobody on earth would leave a hospital in your condition because you can't live the week out. Said, I'd rather die at home than die here then. So he goes home. His wife knows everything about the cooking, getting the natural foods and so forth. And in 3 months' time, he was out of the house on crutches. In 4 months, he was up in the woods using electric saw and cutting things down.
Just as the chemist cannot create life, so he cannot create a living, functioning cell with his complicated life factors. Now, Thomas Edison says, until man duplicates a blade of grass, nature can laugh at his so-called scientific knowledge. Someone has said, a healthy blade of grass is the wonder, the majesty, and the miracle of God visualized through Mother Nature. Now, ladies and gentlemen, all the people you come in contact with, the women, they're either in marriageable age or childbearing age, or they got grandchildren. How can any intelligent person, after reading all this story, believe that here we have a piece of life that is God incarnate, that has all the living cells, that has good, healthy glands? How on earth can you take a synthetic vitamin and add to that, sustain it, or in any way help it? And yet they're doing that to millions of kids today, giving them all kinds of synthetic junk. It's a crime, and it's because we have got to get out and tell them the truth. Now then, suppose instead of eating that food that way, you went into the laboratory and you asked them to cut this up into all of its component vitamins and minerals and so forth. And science can do that up to 99.7% perfect. How long do you think you'd live by consuming those instead of this over here? Chemists could analyze most foods with as near an approach to 100% as he could analyze most other natural things, but could not maintain normal nutrition by feeding the food constituents which his analysis reveals. So we can cut it up and find it in its component parts, but we can't live on it. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, science can go out today and get 1,000 times more people who would be willing to risk their neck in flying to the moon or to Venus, darn sight quicker, and you can find anybody that'll try to subsist on those things. Try and find somebody that's willing to don't eat anything but those and see how many go along with you. You can find hundreds of them to go to the moon. Apparently they're sure of death here and they would have gone to the moon. It reminds us of Humpty Dumpty who sat in the wall and had a great fall and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put him together again. So you can take a product and the chemist can analyze and break it up into all its component parts, but you can't live on the parts and you can't put it together again so it'll sustain life. Sure, you go out here and use these synthetics. And I'll have them come to me time and time again and say, well, you get better results with this than you do with yours. You get a quick pickup with these. Takes yours, never get a pickup of them. You get quicker results and it's easier to sell them. Sure it is. Sure you get a quick pickup. You do on Novocaine too, and marijuana if you want to sell it. But they die off. So what good is the devil? It picks you up today and you die tomorrow. The operation was a success, but the patient died. I go to these Natural Food Associate meetings, and all of the competitors there, representatives of Nutrilite and Visan, and all the rest of them are there, Element and so forth, and they all sit back and they listen to these speakers. Talk about natural food doing this and natural food and why you should have natural food. And they stand there and applaud. And the poor, ignorant individual don't know because they haven't been told and nobody will tell them. And they're sincere in thinking theirs is natural when it's nothing but synthetic. And their own producers and their own sales managers tell them it's natural, but it isn't natural. And I defy any of them to prove to me it's natural, or go on a cool stand and prove it, or go before a scientist. Just because they stick a few synthetics in there, natural things in there, and then to try to call it natural? There isn't a one of them, ladies and gentlemen, that's selling house to house today, not one single one of them, that anything on the analysis comes from their natural product. Are you interested in the health of this nation and the future of it, or you're interested in making money? If money means more to you than your grandchild, and whether they are sterile or not, or whether they have lactation that's poison to the generation, or whether they're devoid of lactation entirely, as a great many of our females are today, by feeding all this junk, if you're interested more in money than you are in that, then you continue to sell what you are selling. And what are they going around here and doing now? They're selling all of them that has 2,000 times the minimum daily requirements of firemen, or 3,000%. That means 20 to 30 times the minimum daily requirement, when doubling it alone will create sterility, and trebling it, or 8 times it, will produce complete cessation of lactation in the third generation. What do we want to do? Destroy our nation entirely? Money. That's all there is in money. Well, we're going to make the money, but we're going to tell them the truth in doing it. We're not going to talk about money. We're going to talk about health and what produces health, and let the money take care of itself. Eat anything God has made for you to eat, and is mentioned in the Bible as food for man, but don't eat it if it has been tampered with to destroy the life in it. You can eat everything in the world, but don't eat it if man has destroyed it. So it says underneath that, unrefined, unpasteurized, unadulterated, and unsprayed. Don't become a fattest. Don't refuse to eat this or that or become a nut on any given theory. Simply use your innate intelligence, which should tell you that you cannot violate God's laws without eventually paying the penalty. How are you to judge what is alive as well as we mean it herein? If it will perish, it is alive. This means if it will spoil, ferment, turn rancid, sour, mold, wilt, attract bugs or weevils, or develop a bad odor, then it has life in it and is fit for human consumption. But if it can be placed on the shelf for an indefinite period without spoiling, it has probably been chemically treated, pasteurized, refined, or fragmented to kill the enzymes so it will not spoil in storage and transportation. If it has thus been rendered inert or stable, avoid it if you would enjoy a more wholesome life. My father used to have 24 horses most of the time when I was just a little kid. And he never fed them, worked them hard all winter and hard all summer, all the time, 6 days a week, and never fed them anything but oats and hay. Today, you can't even keep a riding horse, let alone a racehorse or a workhorse, on oats and hay. Why? Because there isn't any protein in it anymore. In other words, back in 1914, the average good soil in Kansas produced wheat that had 17 to 20% protein. Today, that same wheat, that same ground, only produces from 7 to 10% protein. And the occasional fellow that gets 12 thinks he's got the most wonderful soil in the world. Now, there isn't enough protein in it. There isn't enough protein in the hay to raise anything. All of our competitors sell vitamin and mineral products. We don't. Visan, Elamin, RDX, Neutralite, Abundavita, all of them are vitamin and mineral products. Ours is not a vitamin and mineral product. Ours is a natural food concentrated by taking out nothing but the fiber and the moisture. We don't add any vitamins and minerals to ours. It is not a vitamin mineral product. All the others add to theirs. They get all their potency that is on the label from what they add from a chemical concern. Now, some of them have a little natural in there. But there isn't a single one of them that analyzes one speck of the naturals themselves and puts it on the label. Everything that's on the label in potency comes from what has been added from outside sources. What is green life? And it is, of course, the blend of the dried, extracted juices of the young green cereal grain shoots, oats, wheat, corn, barley, and rye. In other words, we take the juice of that. It has to be grown and cut at the first joint. We triturate it, take the juice, and dehydrate the juice without destroying anything, and we do it at a low temperature, a little at a time, but do it instantly. It's the quickest drying process on earth. We dry it in 2 seconds. Now, why do we use the grasses? If anybody says, well, what are you feeding me grass for? Who wants to eat grass? They want to eat something else that they're more in the habit of eating. Why eat the grass? Well, why do they eat the grass? Some of the well-known grasses are Timothy bluegrass, Sudan grass, bamboo rice, sugar cane, and the cereal grasses, oats, wheat, corn, barley, rye. For most people, the vast majority of proteins, carbohydrates, fats, minerals, and vitamins consumed come directly or indirectly from the grasses. Now, 90% of all the human race uses or eats comes from the grasses, such as beef, pork, veal, lamb, mutton, chicken, turkey, ducks, eggs, milk, butter, cheese, bread, pastries, spaghetti, macaroni, rice, wild rice, sugar, millet, molasses, cereals, crackers, and ice cream. Now, that's why we use the grasses. Most of your food comes from the grasses. All right, now then, why do we use the cereal grasses? Well, because the cereal grasses have a joint system. You'll put the cattle out, as you see there, and they'll eat that grass before that joint comes up. And if they keep eating it off, the joint never does get any higher. It stays right where it is. But if you take the cattle off of there and let that grass grow up so that that joint comes out of the ground, then the cattle don't want it anymore. It's gone into hay, and they'll eat the hay when they haven't got grass. Now, in that joint is the embryo of this sheaf of wheat over here. And that is the most perfect food in the earth that God has given man if you don't tamper with the soil or tamper with the product. In other words, there isn't any more perfect food in the world. And when it's done right, that has the same amount of protein as meat, eggs, and anything else. What is that one fundamental principle? The God concept of the food, the life in the food. Neither one of them talked about the life in the food. Both of them had a vague idea that you should eat natural food, but they didn't know why. Now, the answer to the whole thing is this. I wouldn't be afraid to live entirely on fruits. I'd enjoy going to South Sea Islands or down here in Mexico or Cuba or some of those islands down there, and I'd live on guavas and avocados and coconuts and all of those mangoes and all those wonderful fruits. And I could have a physique on me as good as anybody in the country, as big as some of these weightlifters if I took the exercise. Why? Because it's got the protein in it you need. It's got everything you need if it's not tampered with. On the other hand, I wouldn't be afraid to live entirely on grains and just a few vegetables. And I can live powerfully on that. This nation was built by that. You see, the food processors have always maintained that there's no evidence to indicate that white flour isn't just as good as whole wheat. And they've got plenty of evidence to prove that, too. They've got scientific evidence. Because every scientist up here until a few years ago has known that there is a substance in the grains known as phytin, P-H-Y-T-I-N, that this phytin has phosphorus in it, but it has it in there in such a way that it can't be released, and phytin left as it is inhibits the assimilation of calcium. So the answer was this then. You let the enzymes go to work, and this disproves what the Food and Drug have said. The enzymes are absolutely essential. Now, how was this nation able to live and they survived when they were lived on the grains? Because our mothers used that principle. They at night soaked the flour in lukewarm water, and the enzymes went to work all night, as did the yeast, and they worked it up into ran all over the pantry, and they corralled it down 3 or 4 times. And finally, when the enzymes had quit their work and done their job of breaking up the phytin into a phosphate so as to help the assimilation of calcium, you stick it in the oven, bake it. Don't make any difference whether you bake it, toast it, or what you do. Then the enzymes have done their work, and when you eat it cooked, you're eating it with all the enzyme work done, so it's the same as eating it raw. That's why the grains are the greatest food in the world. What nature does, nature puts a tremendous amount of enzymes, vitamins, minerals, and amino acids in the grass leaf at a certain stage, just when that joint comes to the ground. 4 days, you've got to cut it. After 4 days, all of that material goes back in to form this kernel of wheat and leaves this straw. Now, if you cut it before that comes to the joint, you don't have enough height because it's too low, and you won't get any product to mount anything per acre. If you cut during that 4 days, you get a tremendous product per acre, and you get the maximum juice and the maximum amount of vitamins. But after 4 days, and just a few days after 4 days, it all goes out of there, and you get nothing but straw again, and you don't get the vitamins and enzymes. So we've only got 4 days to do the job. Well, those 4 days, it rained all the time. You couldn't get on there for 10 days. That meant that of the 50,000 pounds, we got 1,500, and the rest of it had to be turned back under for fertilizer the next year. Who's going to pay for all that? You think these synthetic people take a gamble like that? You know of anybody in the world that takes a gamble like that? But all life starts with the grass. But everything you eat starts with the grass. But all vitamins and enzymes and minerals, that everything it takes to make up life starts with the grass and is the grass. And it's non-toxic. And there's no amount that any human being can eat that it makes it toxic. Well, remember this, that enzymes are proteins. They're a protein combination. Vitamins are tied up in a protein combination, enzyme system. Amino acids are parts of protein. And the minerals are ineffective except they're tied up in an enzyme and vitamin combination. So, protein then is the basis of the whole thing. Without protein, all the life material that you use comes from protein. Now, it costs money to put the kind of soil, build the kind of soil we have.
And we've got the only large tract in the United States that will produce that high protein.
That's an expensive proposition.
The retention of the maximum amount of natural enzymes, proteins, vitamins, and minerals requires five distinct steps.
The first one there is that we have to bring this produce in from the field where it's 75 to 80 degrees of temperature, and we put it through a big triturator to cut it down. That's the one down here in the lower left-hand corner, big triturator. And when we do that, we've only got 1 minute, 60 seconds in which to chill it from the temperature of the field down to 32 degrees, which is freezing temperature. But it won't freeze. It won't freeze even at 29. Now, the reason we have to do that is because the amount of enzymes and protein and minerals are so great that the enzyme would go to work and destroy it. You've only got 1 minute, and you've got to have enough refrigeration for the biggest hospital in the biggest hotel in this city just to chill that thing quick. The minute we break the juice, we've got to instantly chill it from the temperature of the field right down to 32 degrees. Now, that means requires a tremendous amount of refrigeration, a big investment to use only 15 to 20 days a year. Now, do you think you've got to do that with this synthetic junk that you buy? Now, the next thing, you can take your other
juices and your cider and leave it in the refrigerator 3 or 4 days. Can we do that? No, sir. We've got to keep it at 32 degrees, and then we can only keep it overnight. We can't even keep it full 24 hours.
Therefore, we've got to dry it right away. Now, we've got to take all this juice that comes in at one time, all this is within a four-day period. We've got to bring it in and chill it instantly, and then we've got to dry it instantly. That means that we have to have an enormous amount of these dryers here.